So the epistle for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from Romans chapter 12. Brethren, we have different gifts according to the grace that is given us, either prophecy to be used according to the rule of faith, or ministry in ministering, or he that teacheth in doctrine, he that exhorteth in exhorting, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with carefulness, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, hating that which is evil, cleaving to which that is good, loving one another with the charity of brotherhood, with honor preventing one another, in carefulness not slothful, in spirit fervent, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, pursuing hospitality, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep, being of one mind, one towards another, not minding high things, but consenting to the humble. Be not wise in your own conceits. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 2. At that time there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited and his disciples to the marriage. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus saith to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what is this to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the waiters, whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 measures apiece. Jesus saith to them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And Jesus saith to them, draw out now and carry to the chief steward of the feast. And they carried it. And when the chief steward had tasted the water made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the waiters knew who had drawn the water, the chief steward calleth the bridegroom, and saith to him, every man at first setteth forth good wine, and when men have well drank, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Please be seated. And delivered them from destruction. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So with the Feast of the Epiphany, we know that the word means the manifestation of the divinity of our Lord. And so there was that manifestation to the world through the 3 wise men as they bore their gifts to our Lord. And so now these Sundays after the Epiphany itself, they illustrate different examples of our Lord's divinity. I mean, one today we look at the Gospel account and see our Lord's first miracle through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that he was able to turn the water into wine, because at the wedding, yes, they had no wine. But then also the gradual shows us again, you know, why the Christ child came at this Christmas time. It says, the Lord sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. So obviously we realize that the word is our Lord Jesus Christ, that God has sent him in order to heal mankind. Heal us from our sins that we have. Heal us in the wound of our human nature, the stain of original sin, the inclination that we have towards sin. And so our Lord was meant to heal us from that. Because otherwise we were on track for destruction. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, through their pride, through their disobedience to the command that God gave to them, through this first sin of our parents, the gates of heaven were closed. And being closed, well, then obviously none of us would be able to reach heaven at that point. But because of their sin, Almighty God promised the coming of a Redeemer, that the Messiah would come. And so therefore, from that, mankind would wait for the Redeemer to come, anticipating his coming, not knowing when he would come. And so therefore, having to try to live their lives in accordance to this coming of the Messiah. And so that's what they anticipated in the Old Testament. We talked about the prophecies about our Lord, that they had this hope in the Messiah coming. And so therefore, they lived their lives accordingly. Those good souls that would be able to save their soul based off of the Messiah that is to come. And so that's where we have the hope in the resurrection, hope in the Messiah. That we know that through the coming of the Messiah at this Christmas time, that through his death on the cross, the gates of heaven would be opened again to us. Salvation would be offered to us. But therefore, we would have to live our lives in accordance with that. And so that's where for us, we know that the Redeemer came. He was promised to save. He was promised to heal us. And then obviously he was promised to save us, deliver us from our sins. And so therefore we see what was the plan of God in sending then the Messiah. And for us, then we have to understand of how much that our Lord wants us to be saved, how much he has done for us by coming into this world, dying on the cross. But we know that when our Lord shed his blood, that for some, the shedding of the blood would be in vain. Because ultimately they would not save their soul. Because they would reject our Lord. And that's where we know, obviously, in his agony of what he saw. He saw all of those souls rejecting him. He saw those souls that would not accept this redemption. And therefore, they would be led to their own destruction. And so that's where we have to then try to figure out how we need to be healed of our sins. I mean, obviously, we see in the epistle the exhortation to sacrifice. Also, the encouragement by St. Paul of how we need to be living our lives, what virtues we should practice, what things we should do. I mean, he talks about the different graces that people receive, which is true. We all receive different graces. And through those graces that we receive, those are the means for us to save our soul. That God gives us, in a sense, what we need to get to heaven, to accept then the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we know it's not just through words that we accept that. It is also a requirement for us to put it into practice. Faith without works is dead. So there must be the works of our lives. That is not just the fact of the faith that we have. I mean, obviously the faith is very important for us. But through our faith, we have to put it into practice every day of our life. Or otherwise we will be led to our own destruction because of our sins, because of our life away from Almighty God. And so that's why it's very important for us to see why the Christ child came. And through why he came, well, then also we have to put that into practice for our lives. And you see St. Paul very clearly saying, hate what is evil, love what is good. I mean, again, St. Paul exhorts us to the higher things. Again and again, we talk about the state of the world around us. We realize that. We realize what we have. That God gives us the graces we need. They are readily available to us in times of temptation and helping us to live a life pleasing to God. And so I would say this kind of this axiom, this what St. Paul says, hate what is evil, love what is good. It is something that we must live by. I mean, yes, truly hating the evil that is around us. I mean, in turn, yes, you love the sinner, but you hate the sin. So we must hate the evil that is around us, and therefore we must love what is good. And truly knowing that God is good. And so God gives us what we need. God offers that out to us. And especially when we think about the Christmas season, the amount of graces that are offered to our souls, that our Lord being this light that dispelled the darkness, that he came in, and this light is what we must follow. But we can also look at it in terms of the light of grace for us, of being in the state of grace. And so therefore, yes, our life is pleasing to God. We've talked about that time and time again. I mean, even at Christmas time, we talked about the great gift that God gives to us, sanctifying grace, being in God's grace. And so therefore, when we look at, as I mentioned to you from the gradual of the Mass, when we look at that prayer that is said, it shows to us what we must do to avoid destruction that is coming from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah that came into this world. And as I say with St. Paul, the epistle is a great exhortation to us to read through that, to understand what we need to try to do in our lives, what virtues we need to practice, how we should try to utilize the graces that God has given to us. Because through those graces are what we're held responsible for. God will hold us for the responsibility of, did you put those into practice? Did you hide them? Did you bury them like the one person, the talents that he received? And so that's through this Christmas season. I mean, it still runs, obviously, to February 2nd, as we mentioned before. I mean, it's a great time for us to contemplate and to think about what God has given to us, what God has done for us, sending his only begotten Son into this world to give us a chance for heaven again. Because otherwise it was closed because of the sin of Adam and Eve. It would have been closed to us all. But God gives us that chance again. God offers that out to us. It's up to us whether we accept that or not. I mean, do we live by this axiom of St. Paul? Do we accept the graces of God? Or do we continue just going through our lives away from God's grace? Let us truly have a change of heart. Let us truly have a change of soul. And so let us pray for these graces. Let us beg God to continue to offer the graces and let us accept the graces from him, so that we can live our lives pleasing to God. So I'll leave you with words from the post-communion. May the working of thy power, we beseech thee, O Lord, be increased in us. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.